All right, brethren, take your Bibles and let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want to focus on verses 23 through 25 with you. The apostle here is speaking of a time, our time in this flesh, both before and after that faith is come. And when we understand what he's speaking of, we should recognize, and we will, the people of God recognize what a mercy, what a grace has been given to us by our God in delivering us from having to work and try and make a righteousness for ourselves by the law, because that's just not possible in this flesh. We're ruined sinners in Adam, and thanks be to God who gave us salvation, true salvation and deliverance in his Son, Jesus Christ. So thank God for his mercy and compassion toward us for his Son's sake. Because the law holds men in its power, and the law doesn't let any man go justified. That is, by our laboring and working according to the law, trying to work righteousness for ourselves, no one is justified before God's sight. He tells us that in his word. There's none justified by the works of the law. And that's because we are corrupt. We're ruined sinners. God is making that known to his people, shutting us up to having only one salvation, to know that there is one hope for the sinner, which is Jesus Christ, his Son. And so the purpose in declaring that no one can be saved by the law isn't to terrify the people of God. It's not to cause you to fear and to be afraid and make a false, vain profession of faith. It's to know the truth of God, who tells us that by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh. There shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. He gave the law to make us to know our sin, our ruin in Adam, our corruption, our inability to work a righteousness for ourselves, that we should see, that we should hear the voice of our God who declares the Son, who turns our eyes from self and from this flesh to behold the salvation of our God. And so it's not the law which brings us to Christ. And we'll look at verse 24, because it's worded in that way. We'll see that in a bit. It's not the law that brings us to Christ. It's the grace of God that leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said to the Romans in another place, he said, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The law doesn't lead to repentance. The law shows me I'm a sinner, condemned justly before God. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance, to behold the Son, to believe on him. It's by his grace. Romans 2:4. Now the purpose of Paul here is not to bring glory to the law, but to say, to tell us, guys, the law has served its purpose. God gave us the law for a reason, and it served that purpose for which God gave it. It's to show us that a greater glory is here. And actually, we can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And when you get there, put a little marker. We're going to look at verses 7 and 9 now, and then we'll be coming back. 2 Corinthians 3. You'll notice two ministrations, two works of our God in revealing, teaching us our need of salvation. Speaking of the law, in verse 7, Paul writes, if the ministration of death, that's the law, that's what's being taught us in the law, that we're sinners, that we're justly condemned under the law. If the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, what was written and engraven in stones? Those Ten Commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai. They were written in stones. If that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold face of Moses. God giving us a picture here of a truth, of a truth here about the law. If that was done for the glory of his countenance, if he was covered, a veil over his face for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. If you remember, when Moses came down off the mount, his face shone brightly. He was in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights when he received that law, and his face shone. But did his face continue to shine forever? No, it faded. It faded. God giving us a picture that the law had a purpose. Had a purpose which was to be done away when Christ came. All right, so they put a veil over Moses' face, but they didn't have to keep it there once it faded away. Yet the veil never left their heart. It never left their heart. It stayed over their heart, keeping them in blindness. Verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? That's the ministration of grace that we are under today, hearing the glory of God, the grace of God preached in his Son, Jesus Christ. For if the ministration of condemnation, when you hear what the law says, you know I'm condemned justly before God. I can't save myself by this law. Well, if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And so we see there, by the Spirit, Paul's showing us that the law is a ministration of death. It's a ministration of condemnation. I can't make myself righteous by the law. And he puts that against the ministration of righteousness, the ministration of the Spirit, the ministration of Christ. Wherein is righteousness? Wherein is salvation? There's hope and faith in our Savior wrought in our hearts. And so Christ has made his people righteous. He has delivered us from the condemnation of the law, so that in Christ Jesus there's no condemnation to you which believe him. Romans 8:1. So I'm going to first speak to you, or show you what Paul is speaking of, or rather of whom he speaks of in verse 23, when he says, before faith came. Galatians 3:23. Before faith came, we were kept under the law. Who is Paul speaking of there? And then secondly, you see the close at verse 25, where he says the good news, which is after that faith is come. So before faith is come, after faith is come, of whom is Paul speaking of here? I've titled this, Faith is Come, Believe Him. Faith is Christ, and we'll see that. This faith is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 23, Paul writes, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. And then in verse 25, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Of whom does this faith speak? We know that all the saints of God, from before the flood, after the flood, under the Old Testament, all the saints of God, including the saints today, are all saved one way, through faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, through the faithfulness of Christ. All the saints of God believed the promise of God made unto Adam and Eve in the garden concerning that promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and crush the head of Satan, that he would crush our enemy, that he would destroy death and sin and deliver us out of that kingdom of death into the kingdom of light. So all the saints of God are justified by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, even as we are. So this isn't speaking of the grace of faith, right? God in grace gives you faith to believe on his Son. There's a beautiful picture in this. We can certainly see how that That's a truth, but that's not the faith of spoken of here in these verses. It's not the grace of faith. Well, is it speaking of the doctrine of faith? That is the glorious revelation of the preaching of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. We know that all the scriptures speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ came, he taught them out of Moses, out of the Psalms, out of the prophets, the things concerning himself. Is this speaking of that doctrine of faith which we preach, that God saves us by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the hearing of faith we hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches and believe on the true and living God? Is it that doctrine of faith? Because when Christ came and the apostles were given power by the Spirit, they preached and proclaimed and declared that glorious good news of what God has done through his Son. So that now, under the Old Testament, they spoke with types and shadows of the things concerning Christ. Now, we use great plainness of speech. We declare him plainly. We show him plainly from the Scriptures, having an understanding, having his Spirit to behold the Son throughout all the Scriptures. And so many in the Old Testament, they worshipped under the law, seeing only types and shadows of Christ. But now we see Christ plainly, and we declare him plainly. Well, it's not the doctrine of faith either. It's not talking about when Christ came in that sense. What it's talking about here, according to the context, is that we see Christ. When Christ is come, the object of our faith, when he came, the purpose of the law was done away. The purpose of that law to show us our sin was done away, because now Christ is our righteousness, and he teaches us of our God. He shows us God. He reveals God unto us. When Christ came, he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the righteousness of the law. He made an end of the law for righteousness and delivered his people from the curse and the power of that law by redeeming them with his own blood. We see that declared in Romans 6:6, where Paul says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that's dead is freed from sin." Christ delivered us from that power and that authority wherein we were held by the law, trying to work a righteousness, laboring in fear and doubts and worries. We're delivered from that in the Lord Jesus Christ by his power, by his glory, by his Spirit given unto us to know him and what he's accomplished for us. And this salvation was accomplished for both Jew and Gentile alike. We're all saved one way by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, knowing that it's speaking of the object of our faith, that this faith here spoken of is Christ, we read this verse 23, it helps to read it this way. But before Jesus Christ, the object of our faith, came, we Jews were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Meaning, we found no relief in the law. God purposed it that his sheep should find no relief in the law, that we might behold the true salvation of God, that we should see our need of his grace and mercy, which is revealed to us now plainly through the preaching of the gospel. And I know that we can get hung up and think, well, how do I know that that's really Christ there? See, are you sure that's speaking of Christ there? Well, look at verse 19, Galatians 3:19. "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." It's the same wording, till the seed should come, till faith came, till the seed should come. Who is the seed? Look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So before Christ Jesus, the object of our faith, came, we were kept under the law. But now that Christ is come, he hath delivered us from our condemnation, from our death, from laboring vainly under the law to try and work a righteousness for ourselves. So Paul here is speaking of the Jews. He's writing to Gentiles, and he's telling them that the law's purpose was for us Jews to be kept under that law until Christ came, so that the law now has fulfilled its purpose. In other words, we are not to bring unbelievers under the law of Moses to teach them, all right, now you've got to be law keepers first before you can come to Christ. We don't put Moses, the mediator, between us unbelievers and Christ, the mediator. We have one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that brings us to the Father. He's the one that teaches us all that we have need of knowing. He's the one that reveals to us Christ. So we don't bring sinners under the law first to make them fit for Christ. We preach the hearing of faith. We preach Christ. We preach the salvation of our God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he delivers the sinner. He heals the broken. He's the one who heals the sick and gives life to dead sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. We don't make sinners Jews first, according to the flesh. The scripture has already settled that question. The scripture has already told us how that sinners were living under the law. They were condemned. It says in verse 22, look at it there in Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded, it's already decided, all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. We're already condemned by the law. No flesh by the deeds of the law will be justified in God's sight. It's done. The question's already settled. We don't need to repeat what God's already shown us in the Old Testament scriptures with national Israel. It's already settled. It's clear to us. By the Spirit of God, he showed us, I can't work a righteousness by the law. I'm condemned by the law. Why am I going back to the law? Why am I trying to work a righteousness which Christ himself worked for his people? Lord, save us from that. Now, we can declare what the law is declaring to us. We can make plain to sinners to say, don't look to the law. The law calls us, the law shows that we are sinners. The law was given for transgression to make known our corruption, our ruin, our fall in Adam. But we don't send sinners to the law to try their best at working righteousness by that law. The law, we just declare what the law declares to us, that by the law we're condemned, we're sinners. And so regarding the Jews, what does Paul mean when he says we were kept under the law? What does that word kept mean? Well, in the scriptures there's two uses of that word kept, and both are helpful here in this sense, in understanding this scripture. In one sense, to be kept means to be kept by a garrison, like a garrison of soldiers for one's protection and safety. And actually, you can see when Paul was retrieved from when the Jews were going to beat him to death for preaching the gospel to them, the Romans intervened and they came and they pulled him out from him and they protected him from what they would do. And then hearing how they had taken an oath to slay Paul, and they wouldn't eat until they had killed Paul. You can see at the end of Acts, the captain of the guard, the Roman guard, said, all right, well, we're going to send Paul over to Caesarea. And he told his head, the centurion, he said, you assemble 200 soldiers, you get 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to take Paul safely to Caesarea. So in that sense, he was kept by a garrison from being killed by the Jews, which sought to kill him. And in that sense, the Lord did preserve Israel with the law. The law teaching them that what the Gentiles were doing, their idolatry, their heathenism, their worship of God, was all vain. It was false. It was lies. It could not save. Don't go there. Don't follow their practices. Don't worship their gods. Destroy them. Have nothing to do with them. And that's what the law taught them. And when they disobeyed the law, God chastened them and brought them back under the law. Because the Christ, he preserved them because Christ was to be born under the law in the time of God's appointment, so that he fulfilled all the law, which was against us. He kept that law perfectly, and he died our death. He died the curse of the law, which was against us, to put it away and to obtain for us eternal redemption and life by his life. And so that's why God preserved Israel, to bring forth the promised seed and to deliver us from that law. And so it had to be preserved and kept in that sense. But the other sense is also one of a military guard, which keeps a prisoner under strict watch and rule. All right, now we could see that in Peter's imprisonment in Acts 15, verse 6. It says, when Herod would have brought Peter forth, he had him taken into custody. The same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. You know, Herod at that time had already killed James, the brother of John. And he saw, he was a newly appointed king over that area, and he saw the Jews like that. They appreciated me putting James to death. And he thought, I'll do it again with Peter. I'll make them happy again. But God delivered Peter, that condemned prisoner. But they were keeping guard over him as a condemned prisoner. And both uses can work here in this verse 23. But before Jesus Christ, the object of our faith, came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So that in the wisdom of our God, those who labor under the law and try to work a righteousness for themselves, if they are God's children, they're going to find no relief from the law. You cannot keep the law for righteousness. And if you try to blend that law in and try to keep that law, all you're doing is bringing yourself under the curses of the law. That's what Paul told the Galatians here. We're not trying to keep the law for a righteousness. The salvation of God makes us to know our need of a Savior. That when we see that law, we see ourselves sinners, condemned righteously before God, that we might hear the peace and the mercy and the grace of God revealed to us sinners in his Son, Jesus Christ, that we should cry out to him for mercy, confessing, God, you are just, you're righteous, you're holy, and I'm the sinner, and I need your salvation. Lord, save me. Have mercy on me for Christ's sake. Put away my sin with his blood. Bring me under the blood of thy gracious covenant in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so he makes us to see that. And our Lord said that to the Jews in John 8:24 when he said, if ye believe not that I am he, that I am the Christ, the salvation of God, sent to save sinners, ye shall die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. And so the law was over the Jews, not as righteous persons who were good and good keepers of the law and righteous people. The law was over them as criminals, as keeping criminals, as lawbreakers in debt to the law and under its curse. And so those Jews who looked to the law for righteousness, they were detained and kept in darkness. so that the veil, even to this very day, that veil which was over their heart back then when the law was read is still over their heart today. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 17 now. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth, this gospel, this door opened by the Lord Jesus Christ unto the Father, that is remaining, and that is more glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. You cannot be saved by the law. Jesus Christ is the salvation of God's people. You run to Him. You look to Him. Plain. Simple. He alone is our salvation. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Christ has abolished the law. Its rule, its reign, the law of sin and death, put away. It has no power over you. You've been raised again. You've experienced the first resurrection, being born again of Christ. The second death hath no more power over you. No influence over your eternal home with the Lord. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. I've lived and worked and known Jews, and that veil is still there. They still do not hear what the law says. They don't hear it. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, verse 16, because it's of grace, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Well, how is a heart in bondage? How is one who is born blind and dead in trespasses and sins ever going to turn and behold the Lord? It's of grace. It's of grace. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. He's the one that delivers the prisoner. He's the one that shines the glory of His light upon the sinner. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So that all for whom Christ died and shed His blood to save them, they shall be delivered. They shall be brought out of that bondage and that death and delivered out from the law and the law's rule and power over His people. The law cannot deliver a guilty sinner. The law cannot make a sinner clean. The law cannot make the unrighteous holy. It's just fact. And that's exactly what our God tells us. Ye must be born again. And that's what Christ told Nicodemus, that law keeper. He told them that very thing. Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And brethren, we must be born again, else we shall die in our sins, because we cannot make a righteousness for ourselves. That law stood opposed to our receiving the promise of God in Christ. But Christ came and destroyed that. He put it away and set His people free. Now it says in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Understand that phrase, to bring us, if you, with King James versions, if you look at it, it shows those words in italics, meaning they are not in the original. And so what it really says is, the law was our schoolmaster unto, or until Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Christ came and He delivers us from that death grip of the law that kept us and held us fast. He delivered us unto life. It says in Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15, concerning this truth, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So long as we keep looking to the law and trying to work a righteousness by the law, trying to justify ourselves or find some comfort or some assurance that I'm a child of God because I keep the law. Well, as soon as you don't keep the law, you see, I guess I'm not a child of God, Lord. And you become terrified and afraid. Christ delivered us from that by turning us away from the law. That's not your righteousness. That's not your holiness. You need Christ. Christ heals. Christ saves. Christ fills our hearts with His love and with His Spirit and causes us to walk by faith, looking to Him, seeking Him, desiring Him. We do love the Lord, and we want to love the Lord more. We do love our brethren, and we want to love our brethren more, and we seek Him for it. We don't go to the law to teach us what to do or how to do it. We cry out, Lord, have mercy. Help me to walk faithfully according to Your word, according to Your Son. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I want to walk in that faith, in that light of Your Son, because I've got nothing in the law. I can't save myself by the law, but You've provided everything in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so Christ is the one, not the law, but Christ comes and says to the prisoner, go forth, I've set you free. And Christ comes to the one who sits in darkness, show yourselves. Show yourselves. I've put away your sin. And I'm going to stop there because we're out of time. But I pray the Lord bless that word and comfort you. Keep you looking to Christ Jesus. Amen.